And he hears and he answers prayer. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing hard for God at all. There's nothing too hard for God. There's a whole lot of things that's hard for me. So many things I have no control over. I can't do anything about. But I can call on Jesus, and he'll make a way out of no way. He'll give me strength when I'm weak. He'll give me wisdom when I don't know what to do. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. It's good to know Jesus in a personal way. It's good to remember where God has brought us from. It's good to remember the cross where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart was rolled away. It was there by faith that we received our sight.
Yeah, man.
And now we're happy all the day. Amen. We're hilarious all the day. We're blessed in the name of the Lord for who he is. Who else can take your sins and throw them in the sea of forgetfulness? Who else can take your dark yesterdays and turn them into bright tomorrow? Who else can fill up an empty refrigerator? But the Lord. Anybody ever been there? When you had nothing to make a sandwich with but bread, and it might have been old, but the Lord. Oh man, he'll make a way out of nowhere. I thank God for knowing God like that. I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. I've experienced the mercy and the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
I've experienced God's touch in the midst of a chaotic situations, plural. God steps in and he speaks peace in crazy situations. Even his disciples, they had to ask a question when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and said, "Peace be still."
Yes.
They say, "Now, what manner of man is this?" They speak to the wind and the waves and they obey. Thank you, Lord God. He can speak to any situation in our lives. And I thank God that I can lean on him. I can trust him. He's that rock that will never give way. He's that way out of no way. And I just thank the Lord. God bless all the saints today for being here in the house of the Lord. Here we are in this season that we all love so much as we begin to reflect on the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The lights are on throughout the neighborhoods, the trees are going up, and the wreaths are on the doors, and the fireplaces are burning, and all the things that are happening. We're just thinking about the goodness of Sister Teresa of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we live also.
Amen.
And so we're here, you know, so many folks today, they're saying, "Happy Holiday." And I don't try to be pushy, but I'm saying, Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah.
No, you're not going to force that on me.
Yes.
Happy Holiday. Merry Christmas.
Amen.
You know, a lady called. She came to the door. She was looking for handouts for some kind of organization she was in. And she said, "Happy Holiday." I said, "Merry Christmas." And the more we talked, the less she got a... It got real distance on whatever she was talking about, because now this young lady need to understand that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
So in these changing times, don't let the world change your mind. Amen. I know who I am, and I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, see, that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. We're living in perilous times. We're living in crucial times. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have a little subject I want to share with you today. And you may have heard it before. I don't know. But it sure been on my mind.
Amen.
Between a rock and a hard place.
Oh,
yes. Have anybody ever been there? The proverbial rock and a hard place. It, the definition of that is you are in a difficult situation where you have to choose between two equally unpleasant courses of action. You know, and I know that's kind of a common saying that we hear sometimes. I'm between a rock and a hard place. That means stuff is real tight. That means things is real rough. See, this world, this life, here on this side, it renders trouble. Trouble will come our way, and as believers, we're not immune to trouble knocking on our door. Come to find out, Doc and myself, we had a common friend. Little did he know, a professor at his college had been a friend of ours for over 30 years. The lady was in Bible study the other night and had a heart attack and died.
Wow.
And we just began to share, I just talked to him about this friend of ours and come to find out. And so we're connected in so many ways, but there's trouble that comes our way. And so we find ourselves sometimes between that proverbial rock and a hard place. You know, when I think about that, it's like sometimes you see someone who have committed a crime. And not that they just accuse of it, they shown up and done it. And then you have that option of, well, you're going to do time anyway. So you either go to court, face the jury, and you may get a life sentence, or you can plead no contest, and you might only get 20 years. You're talking about between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you got to make some kind of decision. Somebody here may have been through a situation like that. I don't know. I came close, but not that close, and I just thank the Lord for that. And you know, sometimes we between that rock and that hard place, even as it relates to our health sometimes. Because these doctors, they prescribing all kind of stuff. And we may have a real issue, but we don't really know how to deal with it, but the options are not that, you know, do I take this treatment or do I not? You know, my life is flashing before me. And so it can put us in that proverbial place again, between a rock and a hard place. But I thank you, I thank the Lord that He's in every place.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the rock and a hard place that we have is really not that bad. Like one of mine is not, you know, that serious. But when I'm at Corky's restaurant, and after the meal, do I get a peach pie or apple pie? All those pies are lined up. I'm between a rock and a hard place. I have to make a decision, see? And I don't believe the Lord is really concerned about that one, you know? But I have to make that decision. But in life, we find ourselves in some situations sometimes that are really, really hard. Have anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
And in those situations of Brother Joe where you don't know if it's this way, it don't look good, and if it go this way, it don't look good. But we'll find ourselves in those places. So here we are in this Advent season. Here we are in this time of history where God had been silent for 400 years. After the closing of the Old Testament, that was no word from God. But yet there were people still living for God and living holy for God and waiting on the promises of God to come through. You know, have you ever been in a place where maybe you didn't feel like you were hearing from God?
Right.
You know, I know at some point we've all been there. God here, hello, I'm here. God said, I know where you are. I know your steps. I know the very breath you breathe. But sometimes we can feel like God is not there. But I want to let you know, when God begin to move, though, when God begin to move, things begin to happen. And so we find ourselves today and looking at Matthew chapter 1, where after this 400 years of silence, God had begun to speak to folks. Came to Elizabeth and came to Zechariah, came to Mary, and we're going to see Mary and Joseph in our text on today, between a rock and a hard place. You know, see, it's not just, we as saints, we're not immune, again, to hard places, to hard things, situations that can come in our life. So let's take a look at the scripture today and go pick up the first chapter in verse 18. You see what we got laying out here? This ain't Halloween. This ain't, you know, this ain't whatever we come up with, Valentine's. No, this is representative as we reflect on Jesus being born in a manger. Just thinking on our, that's just stuff that somebody that made, but in our hearts we see Jesus.
Amen.
And we know how dear he is to each one of us. So the passage says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Thank God for the record that he has left on record for us.
Yes.
That we can understand and know who he is, what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he's promising he's going to do, and how all of this came about. So it said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Not just any Jesus, but Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One,
yes,
the Son of the Living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Rose of Sharon. This is it. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
It's a whole lot in that verse right there. Her and Joseph were engaged. And in Hebrew time and Hebrew culture, they were not, it was as binding as the full-fledged marriage. They just had not come together. They were not sharing the same room. They had bunk beds. No. You know. But it was a binding thing. And it was to death do us part. You know. But it says after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found pregnant. She was found with the child, watch this, of the Holy Spirit. See, now you have to be able to look at scripture here, to put it all together, but just a little inkling from Luke chapter 1, verse 34 through 35, the angel had already came to Mary and began to tell her what God was going to do through her, how she was a chosen vessel, how what God was going to bring forth the seed through her. And so can you imagine this young virgin girl getting this salutation from the angel of the Lord? And when she heard this, now mind you, she's engaged. She's got her fiance who they are both pure before the Lord. And no doubt they're so happy. They're excited, thinking about building their relationship. And the Lord only knows what all was going through their mind. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit. See, Pastor Ralph preached on the Holy Spirit last week. Who the Holy Spirit is and what he's doing in our lives. And he's operating, he's active in the lives of his people. Everyone here, we need to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, is active in our lives even right now.
Yes.
And thank God for it. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest, the power of Almighty God, the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One,
yeah.
I mean, the King James vernacular says yeah. That holy thing, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Verse 37 says, for with God nothing will be impossible. I pray that someone in the church today grab hold of that one verse. For with God nothing, no thing will be impossible. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what the situation looks like, regardless of what the doctors are saying, regardless of what the naysayers are saying, with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And we're not to just settle for anything. We can trust in the Lord.
Amen.
With prayer and supplication, we can make our requests known unto God.
Yes.
God, here I am. I need you. This is my situation. And I know it's not impossible for you. That's what faith is all about.
Amen.
That's what trusting in God is all about.
Amen.
It's easy to talk a whole lot of faith talk when everything is going all right. you know, got my money in the wallet. You know, things are looking good on the job, whatever that is. But when trouble comes, when situation, when the enemy comes knocking on our door, we need to know there's nothing impossible with God. So all of this come by between a rock and a hard place, because the focal person, the main focus of this passage today is Joseph. We're going to learn some things about this man whose fiance is pregnant and he ain't touched her. The Bible says in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, see, that's how binding this engagement period was. It was just like they were husband and wife, but the whole routine had not happened. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, now that tells us something right there. He was a just man. It's important for us to be justified by the blood of Jesus. It's important for us to live a holy life before the Lord.
Oh, yes.
And holiness can even manifest when we have done wrong. Mm-hmm. Because we allow the Holy Spirit to drive us to our knees. And we ask God for mercy, please. And we repent of our sin. That's holiness there. When you talk to somebody wrong, you've hurt somebody's feeling, and you a child of the Most High God, holiness says, sister, I'm sorry. Yeah. Brother, I'm sorry.
Amen.
See, he was a just man. See, he was justified. This was before Christ, atonement, but the man loved God. And he was just before God, because the words say he was just. See, we found out that Job was a perfect and upright man who feared God and shunned evil. Don't you want that to be your testimony?
Amen.
I want to walk close with God.
Yes.
I don't want to do anything to make my Lord ashamed. So we find out that Joseph, he was a just man. And he was so just. The law said that in a case of adultery, That guilty party could be killed, could be put to death. But he says, but not wanting to make her a public example. This tells me something else, that he loved her unconditionally. He's broken in his flesh. He's hurting. He can't make sense out of this. He's between a rock and a hard place. He loves this woman so dearly, but the evidence is showing here something is wrong. But he said, the Bible says, not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately, secretly. He didn't want everybody in town to know. And for them to either stone her or ridicule her or cast her out. All of this was going on in this young man's mind. He was between a rock and a hard place. But he was a just man.
Yes.
See? I think that's important to just keep throwing that out. He was a just man. He was a young man who loved God. And this is something that we have to really let our children know. You don't have to get old like the pastor to love God. Remember your creator in the days of your youth, young people. While you're still strong and beautiful and handsome and wise, and love God now.
That's right.
Trust him now.
Yes, yes.
Make your request known to him now.
Amen.
Believe him and see the glory of God.
Amen.
He said it in verse 20, says, but while he thought on these things, have you ever had to wrestle with something? And see, sometimes we just blow past scripture and it's like, okay, that was only about 10 minutes that Joseph dealt with this. Sometimes we're wrestling day after day.
Yes.
Night after night. Sometimes we're struggling in our sleep. We can't have sleep because we're in that, between that rock and that hard place. Because if I go here, this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do anything, this could happen. See. But it said that Joseph was a just man. And here we are in 2018, almost 2019, justified by faith. We have peace with God. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We have communion with the Lord of the universe.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
There's awesome power at our disposal just by having faith in the Lord.
Yes.
In the midst of the rock in the hard place. He says, but while he thought about these things, thank God for Jesus. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This tells me that regardless of whatever we're going through, God is concerned about
us. Yes.
God knew where Joseph was at. The same God who sent the angel to Mary, his fiancée, is the same God now that's ministering to him in his trouble. The same God who we called on for salvation is the same God who's right here for us right now. And we have more knowledge of him now than we did when we first believed. I don't want to lose that zeal that I had for Jesus when I found out that I was free. When I found out that I had been delivered and set free from sin, I had to tell everybody I ran in contact with. And guess what? 40 years later, I don't want to lose that. I want to let the world know something great has happened to me. I've tapped into something that money can't buy. Thank you, Lord, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It says the angel came down in a dream. I don't care if you woke or sleep, God can talk to you. That's why we need to be careful when somebody's unconscious in the hospital of what we saying. Because folks can still hear. But even if somebody lay in the hospital in a coma and the ears are plugged up with cotton, the Holy Spirit can speak to them. And come knocking on their door. Thank you, God. He's that kind of God. He gets into places where nobody else can get. He get into places where we won't let nobody else get. But he'll get in, he say, I'll sup with you. Thank you, Lord God. So he knows the troubles that we have. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows when we're between that rock and the hard place. And he said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
So in this man's troubles, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, called him by his name.
Yes.
He didn't say Ralph, George, because Ralph and George didn't have this problem. Joseph did.
Amen.
So the messenger from God, the angel, the mighty warrior, had a message. I don't know what these angels were doing for 400 years now when heaven was quiet. But now the master said, okay, Gabriel, it's time to move. I got a message for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I got a message for you to take to my people.
Hallelujah.
Let them know I'm getting ready to do something miraculous. Have you ever just kind of felt a blessing coming on?
Yes.
I feel a blessing coming on.
Yes.
Watch out, Mother Angela. Don't start trouble up here. Say, you can have it. Just reach up and grab it.
Yes.
I feel a blessing coming on.
Hallelujah.
Joseph, son of David. Thank you, God. He said, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. It's a lot. In all of this, it's so much. He said, now we thinking, you men out there, I'm talking about you robust, macho brothers. You know, we would be mad. All right, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. You would be upset. You would be winding up. Whatever you'd be doing. But what did the angel say? Fear not.
Yes.
The angel said, don't be afraid. So he went past all of the emotions. And he got to the heart of the matter. Son, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife.
Yes.
Can't nobody speak to us like God.
Right.
You know, now, there's no other man in town could have told Joseph anything that would make this situation right. But the angel of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mm. The power of the Holy Ghost. The angel said, don't be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This, you're talking about getting your head around something. Some things you can't get your head around, you've got to get your heart around. Yes. You got to get your faith around. Yes. You have to know in whom you're dealing with. And he says, don't be afraid, because that's what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, you're talking about where the rubber meets the road. You're talking about the same God who spoke in the universe came into existence, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. You're talking about this same Holy Spirit. Now, she's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you, God. He's yet in between that rock and hard, in that hard place, but I think he's getting a little softer now. See, you know. Let me get through this. And he said, and he went on to say, and she will bring forth a son.
Yeah.
He didn't stop it there.
Yeah.
He didn't stop it because he nothing worse than getting part of the picture.
Right.
Have anybody ever told you half of a story?
Yeah.
I say there's a new movie out. We went and saw it, and all of this happened, but I ain't gonna tell you the rest. Well, you shouldn't have told me nothing. You know, let me just see it all for myself, right?
Right.
So, all right. So, and she will bring forth a son, and you, listen, sir, husband, man betrothed, engaged to her, locked into her forever and a day, you shall name him Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus.
Yes.
He didn't stop right there. She's going to have a son. And you're going to call his name Jesus.
Amen.
And not only that, but he will save his people from their sins. My Lord, this is in a dream.
Yeah.
And it's, the scripture said, verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, therefore, the Lord himself. Now this is in Isaiah 7:14 is where this quote came from. In Isaiah 7:14 said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Now this was, that prophecy was 700 years before Jesus laid in the manger. Don't tell me that God don't know what we're going through. So again, someone in here today, get it out of your mind that God don't know what you're going through.
Right.
He have blessings untold. And he is the one who holds our future. He is the one who has the final say. Not us, not the doctor, not Larry Parker. Nobody have the last say but God. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Our God knows who we are. So verse 23 says, the angel went to quote that same passage. He said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
Yeah.
Can y'all help me for a minute? I'm going to get ready to close out. Will you tell somebody close to you that God is with you?
God is with you.
See? Yes, yeah, you ask him, do you believe it? I believe it. I remember years ago, Bishop Goodman asked the congregation, he got up, he's older than me, he got up, and he said, how many of y'all believe you're saved? Hands kind of went up. Then he said, well, how many of y'all know you're saved? And more folks that start jumping around. See, because it's a no-soul salvation. It's a no-soul thing to know that God is going to help me in the midst of my situation, regardless of what it looks like.
Amen.
Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep. Now listen, when God sends the answer, when God sends the breakthrough word, Pastor Doc, we need to obey it.
Amen.
See, we can cry all we want, but when God sent us the solution, we need to do it.
Amen.
And sometimes it don't make sense to us, but it don't matter what, because a whole lot of stuff don't make sense to me anyway. So if God said it, I just got enough sense to believe it.
Amen.
To do what God said to. He said, and here's why I say that. Then Joseph being aroused from sleep. Wow. You know how it is when you wake up out of a sleep.
Yeah.
You know, was I dreaming? Was it what? Yeah. Was it that last chili dog with onions? But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice.
Yes.
And no other voice will they hear.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If anybody here, I just want to take one little poll. Have God ever spoke to you?
Yes.
Have you ever heard his voice?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took him his wife. Regardless of what folks were saying, regardless of what the situation looked like, he said, baby, it's you and I. We lockstep together. You and I in God. Woo. I'm with you. The same angel who spoke to you, he didn't come to me. The world may not understand, but baby, you and I, we go for me and I, for you, me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. We gonna do what God has called us to do. I don't care what the crowd's not doing. I say what we gonna do. And then his angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. I want to say he made the right decision. Because if he had to lean to his own understanding, he'd have been messed up. And he did not know her. He didn't have a relationship with her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was a man of integrity. He was, the Bible says, he was a just man. Through everything we read, they tell us that he was a loving man. Oh, hallelujah. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. God has laid it all out that we might operate like that. But here, God has always given us examples in scripture to prove a point. It's one thing, too. Let me just say this. When we as believers find ourselves between that rock and a hard place. But if you start reading over in scripture, you find that Jesus is that rock.
That's right.
Yes.
Jesus is that rock.
Yes.
And sometimes where our battle comes from is Jesus is saying one thing, and the world and our flesh is saying something else. And we feel like we in this struggle and we between a rock and a hard place, but that rock, Jesus, is saying, I got a better plan for you.
Amen.
So we need to let go and let God.
Amen.
Moses and the children of Israel, they found themselves with the Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh's army behind them. You're talking about between a rock and a hard place. But God said, and this is one of my favorite passages, you probably heard it from me 50 times, Exodus 14, 13 through 14, here was trouble all around, not just Moses, but the million of people were between a rock and a hard place, and they were scared, and they didn't know what to do, and the people were pointing fingers at Moses, but God, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Oh, glory to God. That's a message for somebody else in here today. Don't be afraid. He said, do not be afraid. He said, stand still.
Yeah.
This ain't the first time in scripture God has told somebody, stand still.
Yes.
Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I'm God.
Yes.
He said, be stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, glory to God. The problem that you see today, the pain and hurt that you see today, you shall see again no more forever. God said that. And God parted the Red Sea.
Yes.
I can hear the people, Moses said, we can't swim across all that water. We can't. But God said, no problem. I'll move the water.
Amen.
But we can't go across through that mud. He said, I'm drying up.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going through. God said, I have victory for you.
Yeah.
See, sometimes, now there's another fellow, David, who found himself between a rock, a hard place, and trouble. He really had it bad.
Yeah.
Brother Bill, you remember when Satan moved upon David to number the people.
Yeah.
And God had already showed David and all Israel that he was God and he was the one who fought for them.
Amen.
That no weapon formed against them could prosper.
Hallelujah.
David, your help is not in the amount of men you have.
Yeah.
America, your help is not in your mighty military force. It's in Jesus.
Yeah.
It's in calling on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
You see, so David was, he found himself, Joab, go out and sense to the people. It's going to take months to do it, but I want to know how many folks we got. And that thing displeased the Lord.
Yes.
We don't want to do anything to displease the Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. We want to walk uprightly before the Lord.
Yes.
God help me to walk uprightly before you.
Amen.
And so pick up the narrative in Samuel, 2 Samuel, 24:11, and you'll find the same thing in 1 Chronicles 21 in a little more detail. It says, now when David arose in the morning.
Yes.
It just because you got a title don't mean you right.
Come on.
Just because you the king.
Yes.
Just because you say some go here, some go there, and they do it. Don't mean you in right standing with God. And you a man after God's own heart. But you're not perfect on this side.
Amen.
And we need to be led and controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord.
Yes.
I just love to hear that.
Yes.
The word of the Lord.
Yes.
See, even over in the book of Acts, and when they were quoting what the prophet had said, thus saith the Lord God, you know, thus saith God in the last days. So now, when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad. David's seer, saying, go and tell David. Prophet, go and tell the king.
Yeah.
What thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes we hunker down and not telling folks what's true.
Yeah.
Because of who they are or what their title is or where they are in the family or whatever. But we need to tell folks what thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And so he said, I offer you three things. We've talked about between a rock and a hard place, but when you're between three, you got the trifecta going on. Some of y'all might know what that is on the racetrack. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. God has said, I'm going to punish you, and I'm even going to give you the option to choose which one. Somebody's mother may have said, I'm going to give you an option. I'm going to take this belt and tan your hide. I'm going to give you 2 weeks time out. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you sitting up there, eating, baby, see. You know. So he says, you choose out of these three.
Yeah.
Because you've done what's wrong. You sinned egregiously because I'm your God. I'm the one who has a plan for you and for this nation. And he says, so you choose what I'm going to do for you, that I may do. So Gad came to David and told him, and he said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? 7 years of drought. 7 years of no water. 7 years of no crops growing. 7 years of the animals getting skinny and everything else. He said, 7 years, all these things, okay. So Gad came and told David, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or shall you flee, watch this, for 3 months before your enemies?
Wow.
Like, okay, all of a sudden y'all turn enemy and yours truly, uh-oh, I'm out for 3 months. You got all your enemy out to get you, to kill you, to destroy you. I can imagine David is saying, okay, 7 years of famine, 3 months of the enemy. Okay, what's number three? What's in door number three? Because these first two don't sound too good. Have you ever been there where some of these situations, these decisions you have to make in your life, they don't sound, none of them sound good? You know, but thank God for being just before God. Thank you for being washed in the blood of Jesus. He said, while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider, he says, now this is the prophet talking to the king in the name of the Lord. Consider and see what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. In short, I'm stressed out. I'm messed up. I'm tore up from the blow up. I don't know what to do, but I got to give an answer. Wow. He said, I'm in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord. Please don't miss that. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord. Why did he say that? For his mercies are great. Oh, my God, church, get grab hold of that. His mercies are great.
Yes.
His mercies are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
Yes.
We need to know this in the midst of our trials and troubles and tribulations of this life. For his great, his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man.
Right.
I'll fall, as Elder Jones said earlier today, on the mercy of the court. I'll fall before the throne of the Almighty God, and I'll ask God to have mercy on my soul.
Yes, Lord.
He said, so I'll take number three. And when he took number three, the angel of the Lord showed up. 7,000 of those men were killed on the spot. And David looked up and he was broken and he was crying and saying, God, they haven't done nothing. God, it's me. How often do we say it's me, God?
That's right.
I've sinned. I've done wrong, Lord. And he looked up and the angel of the Lord had his sword pulled out, ready to come down on Jerusalem. And the Lord had mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Said angel, put it back.
Praise God.
Put it back.
Hallelujah.
Oh God. So God was sparing them from something even greater.
Amen.
Because when a nation or a family or a people turn their back on God, then the floodgates are open for the enemy to come in.
Yes.
So God deals with sin. And God had mercy and he stayed the angel's hand.
Yes.
Jesus is the perfect example of someone being between a rock and a hard place.
All right.
Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, any other way, let this cup pass from me. The suffering, the separation, the pain, that his humanness was crying out, oh God, between a rock and a hard place. But I imagine Jesus will say, but if I don't go through with it, then there will be no redemption. If I don't go to the cross, there'll be no salvation. If I don't go to the cross, that soul will be lost. So nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he hung on the cross and he bled and died for you. And he rose on the third day morning with all power in his hand.
Yes.
No more rock in a hard place, but free at last.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, ever to reign in our hearts and our minds. Praise God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Between a rock and a hard place.
Amen.
Is anyone here that I can understand what the pastor was ministering to our hearts? I don't know about you, but I've been in a place where it was difficult. And if it wasn't for the mercy, if it wasn't for the mercy of Almighty God,
yes,
no telling where I would be. The mercy of God is here today.
Amen.
The word that has gone forth should penetrate your hearts. The word that has gone forth today should get on in the inside of us and help us to realize that we serve a God.
Yeah.
We serve a God that is merciful.
Yes.
We serve a God that in the middle of the night, we can call upon him.
Yes.
We can say, Abba, Father.
Hallelujah.
Abba, Father.
Amen.
Help me.
Yes.
The pastor preached this day.
Yes.
Did he?
Yes.
God doesn't want anyone to be left alone. The reason why that I believe that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to our hearts over the days and the weeks and the months to prepare us for a time such as this. As the pastor hath gone forth and laid the foundation, there may be some here that want to know about this Jesus. That if you don't have that relationship, I don't know, if you would live here today, where would you go? God has prepared a place. Don't you want to go?
All right, man.
God has prepared a place for you and I. But for some chance, if there are those that have not received Jesus as their personal Savior, as we bow our heads, if those that are here, that if the roll call today, where we be? Where will we be? I want to introduce you to a loving and a loving heart of a father that cares, that he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He don't want anyone to say that I hadn't had a chance. Is there anyone here this morning that as you've heard the message today, as you've heard the Father through the pastor reaching out, if you're here and you do not know the Heavenly Father, if Jesus is not your personal Savior, as heads are bowed and eyes closed, if there are anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if you could just raise that hand, if you could just allow God to meet you where you're at, in the point of your need, if salvation is something that you long for, now is the time. Now is the place. The Holy Spirit is making it right just for you. Now, when he spoke about a rock and a hard place, maybe there's someone here that is having a very difficult time in their lives. This message was just for you. This message was very timely. This message is a wake-up call. And if you want to become closer to God in the hour of your need, now is the time. If there is something that you are dealing with, something that you're going through, and you just want to say, Pastor, I want you to pardon me. I want someone to pray for me because it's very difficult where I'm at. The pastor gave examples in the Word of God of David. He gave examples of Joseph. He gave examples. Are you an example this day, that there's something hard that you're dealing with and you need help, you need prayer, now is the time. Raise that hand. We want to pray. I see that hand. God sees that hand. We want to partner with anyone that has issues that need to be dealt with. We serve a mighty God.
Yes.
I see that hand. Now, as I'm praying, I want you to be able to understand and visualize Almighty God with his hands outstretched. He's a loving God. He cares for us. He wants to be with us during those very difficult times. I don't know what your situation is, but Jesus does. I'm not there in the middle of the night, but Jesus is there with you.
Yes.
As we pray, those that have not raised their hands, partner with me as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we call upon you because in the word today, Lord, he talked about the rock. Lord, Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is here to meet the needs of those that are in need. So I pray now in the name of Jesus, go in the homes, touch those hands that were raised. Touch that life, Lord. Whatever it is that they're dealing with, let them know that you are bigger. That you are bigger than anything that will come against them. The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But not on our watch. Not today. Today we say, Abba Father, we give our hearts to you. Abba Father, take this hard place. Take this difficult time that I'm going through. And I want it to be an example of your grace. An example of your grace in my life. And in the name of Jesus, I'll give you glory. And I'll give you honor. I'll bless you. Because you are the one. You are higher than anything. Father, no matter where we are, no matter what is it that we're doing, that you are with us and that you always will be with us. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for answered prayer. Father, your word goes out. Your word said it will not come back void. Your word says by faith we can do all things. Father, you can do all things. We put that in your hands. And we pray this, the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we are getting ready to leave, we ask a blessing for those that have fixed the food, Lord, today. We ask a blessing upon the food. We ask, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that if there are those that have come prepared to give tithes and offerings, if the box is on the wall, you know where it's at. And we thank you for their gifts. We thank you for those that are tithing. We thank you for those that are giving. For this is for this service and this ministry is all about you, Lord. So we thank you. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we speak a blessing. We speak a blessing on all those that are here. We pray, Father, that those that represent families, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, no matter who we are and where we go, that you reign gloriously. You reign, and we'll give you praise. Come on. We'll give you praise. We'll give you praise in the house of the Lord. We give you glory in the house of the Lord. We lift your name in the house of the Lord. You are our Father. You are our God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Let us say, in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
In Jesus' name, give God a big round of applause in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ricky Dillon.
Now, for somebody, and just promise.